101.5 FM, 720 AM. KDON, the talk of Las Vegas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
One full hour of wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's bring on the host. Here is Mark Hoke.
Hey, everybody. Happy Ric Flair Baby Day. Did you guys know that?
Ric Flair had a baby?
Sort of.
Lacey Evans had a baby.
Yes, Lacey Evans had her baby. So, congrats. So, just wanted to make that a little joke, but congratulations to Lacey Evans and her family, as they've got the second kid showing up yesterday. Had the birth in their house. Pretty funny. They were COVID restrictions. Lacey said, "I'm staying home." Had the baby in a recliner.
That's because she's tough. She's a Marine.
She's something else, that's for sure. Wow. Well, hey, thanks for joining us. We're here on the Mark Hoke Show. I'm the aforementioned Mark Hoke. Thanks for being here on KDWN 101.5 FM, 720 AM. Talk of Las Vegas. I'm actually in the production booth today because we have no producer. So this could get interesting, but I think we're all right. Hoping we're all right.
You mean I need to talk more today?
you may have to, sir. It is a distinct possibility.
Okay.
Yeah, so
I'll fight through it.
All right. Well, that is Joe DeFalco from the Future Stars of Wrestling. Joe, how are you this morning?
Oh, great. I'm looking at my Bet Online status, and I see all the lines for the Crown Jewel event. I'm ready to make big money.
Well, we've actually got those ready to go because we're going to do the Crown Jewel predictions as much as we can anyway, coming up. And, of course, sitting in the booth, sitting in my chair right now, even though it'll be his chair tomorrow on SportsX Radio, Andrew Fishfane, everybody. The Fish, what's going on?
Another Sunday, and here we are.
Here we are. Yeah, everybody's a little peppy this morning. I had a bad, bad day yesterday. And then this morning, I really want to get something to eat. I didn't have dinner last night, and I'm driving down Durango, and like got to hit my Jack in the Box, man. Gonna hit my Jack in the Box. Pull up, get to the drive-thru, and after having a horrible day yesterday, sign on the board, closed at 2. Open at 7. I was there at 6:40. I almost went Wally World on that one. Little Clark Griswold moose punching nearly happened.
The moose outside should have told you we were closed.
Yes. Oh, my God. Just something else today, I'll tell you. But, boy, a lot going on. We're going to talk about the last Friday. Of course, we had the big half-hour showdown between WWE SmackDown and AEW Rampage.
Apparently, nobody saw either show. So,
man, with the much-hyped first collision between the two major shows, and actually, AEW's second show. And really, SmackDown is supposed to be the second show, but it isn't anymore. But we're going to talk about that. Crown Jewel, the pay-per-view coming up on Thursday morning at 9 a.m. for us here on the West Coast. So we'll get to enjoy that. And just a ton of other stuff going on. Another amazing Queen's Crown match. Wow.
Yeah. I heard that one went like 2.5 minutes.
Oh, they gave him a ton of time this time. Yeah, exactly.
They're really stepping it up.
Way to go, guys. Way to go.
Unbelievable.
It's so funny because WWE did so much to build up their women's division, and it did such a great job of doing it, and now they've completely destroyed it.
I heard Harvey Whippleman's going to win it, but...
Oh, Hervina's back.
I was going to say it's Santina, so...
could you imagine if they did that? Having Santina Marella come back?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, let's talk... Well, since we're on that topic, we'll start with that. The women's division has been devastated in WWE. It is a the Queen's Crown tournament has been a total disaster,
unmitigated.
We've now had five of the six matches before the final. I've taken showers longer than this tournament has run. Do you guys realize that? It is under 15 minutes of wrestling time between the five matches.
If you're going to do that, there's no point in having the tournament. The whole idea of the tournament is to showcase these women, and that is not what they're doing at all.
No, absolutely.
It's not WWE's fault some girl beat another girl in a minute and a half. You know, it was a hard-fought minute and a half.
Oh, and I'll tell you who I feel worst for right now. Natalya. Poor Natty. Comes in, does a few moves, takes a slap and a roll up, and loses to Doudrop in the first round. You've got to be kidding me.
Well, that match lasted almost as long as one of Brock Lesnar's title defenses.
That is true. That is true. But Natty deserved better in this. Would you guys agree?
Yes and no. I mean, she does, but at the same time, if that's who you're going to throw into the tournament, what do you expect? The names they put in the tournament were absolutely ridiculous. I'd rather have seen them bring back like a Beth Phoenix to wrestle in this tournament than some of the names they had in there.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because, you know, at that stage, she can wrestle a strong minute and a half.
Well, Joe, if you were booking this thing, of course you run the Future Stars of Wrestling promotion here in Las Vegas. You're booking this thing. I mean, would you have done anything like this? I mean, this just seems incomprehensible.
Well, it's just like I said last week. It's, you know, you're putting two tournaments on in the same 2-hour show. You know, that alone has to, you know, open up a red flag of, you know, what are you possibly doing? You only have X amount of time, you know, a 2-hour show, take away your commercials, and they're doing 6 or 7 matches in 90 minutes, and half of them are segments, and then you're going to have a match or two like Finn Balor and Sami Zayn, and that's going to go a little bit. You know, you're leaving yourself no time. It's just, you know, they're throwing everything against the wall, whatever. Like I said, they don't care what sticks at this point. You know, you can say what you want about, oh, well, AEW, they're going to run head-to-head, and they're going to go, yeah. They have their segments, and they're going to get them on, and they don't care. And that's why, at least with AEW, it makes WWE at least seem like they're going to try. Because they haven't seemed like they've tried for years.
Yeah, and then we come back with I guess you can say your top tier ladies. Now all of a sudden we've got Bianca Belair wrestling Charlotte Flair on Raw for the Raw title, even though Charlotte is going to SmackDown, and we just had Becky Lynch wrestle Sasha Banks, who is going to be in a triple threat at Crown Jewel with Bianca Belair, who is defending the SmackDown title, even though she's going to Raw. What?
Well, Becky Lynch minus 200.
Yeah, it's like they didn't think any of these things through and what they were going to do, and now I think they've kind of painted themselves into a corner, because there's no point in having your SmackDown Women's Champion on Raw and your Raw Women's Champion on SmackDown. I don't want to see them do the old belt exchange that the Street Profits and the New Day did, which was absolutely stupid as
yes,
well.
Yes, it was.
So they got. They painted themselves into a corner. I don't know how they get out of it at this point.
Yeah, this within a matter of a couple of months. They have taken this women's division and just mauled it. It's like they stuck it. They're just rubbing it on a cheese grater right now.
I mean, just think of the place it was when they had Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda Rousey main eventing WrestleMania, and then even last year, you know, when you had Sasha and Bianca main eventing WrestleMania. From that high to the lower they are right now is absolutely ridiculous, and they've done it to themselves. It's self-inflicted wounds.
No, and terrible storytelling. I mean. Joe, what are your thoughts about this mess?
Well, if the Raw Women's Champion's on SmackDown, then they need to make the SmackDown Women's Champion on SmackDown. So it's pretty easy to think that Charlotte Flair will lose her 37th title. You know, I've never seen somebody have more less than 1 month reigns than Charlotte Flair in the history of wrestling. Like, she wins, loses the next day. She wins, she loses a week, two later. Like, there's no prestige in being the champion anymore, you know. Back when we grew up, you know, back in, you know, in the 1800s, you know, you look at the guys who never were champions. You know, Jake the Snake Roberts, Million Dollar Man. Like, you would think, to this day, you know, Million Dollar Man would have held the title 11 times.
Had it not been for Honky.
You know, and he never held it once. Rick Rude. You know, you can take the list on and on and on. You know, it was prestige. And now there's nothing prestigious about it. It's just like, you know, it's worse than a prop, because at least when you have a prop, you know, people respect the prop. It's like, did Bobby Lashley just lose the title just so Goldberg can beat him, but not for the title at Crown Jewel?
More than likely. And, you know, it's funny because you're talking about Charlotte, and Sasha Banks is the same way. I think she's, in her entire career, all of her title reigns, she's only had one ever successful title defense.
Right, yeah.
Every other time she's defended her title, she's lost.
Yeah, she finally defended the title on this last reign that she has had. It's just unreal.
You know, it's great that, you know, 37 different people could be the champion. But back in the day, it was a bigger deal because only six people could have been the champ. Like, when you were watching WWF back in the day, as good as Ricky the Dragon Steamboat was, like, he wasn't even at that level to be the WWF heavyweight champion. You know what I mean? It was like, you knew it was Macho Man, it was Hogan, Ultimate Warrior. It was the top of the top, the cream of the crop. Now you got, Finn Balor and Big E, and I'm not saying that these guys aren't great, but they've made 40 people, you know, capable of winning the championship, which really, it's almost as if, like, hey, the Cincinnati Bengals are going to win the Super Bowl. Like, you just don't believe it. So in wrestling, you have to believe it because that's what they do, but it's like, it doesn't make it a big deal. That's why Roman Reigns is the champion is kind of a big deal. Because, wow, who's going to beat this guy? Like, there's not a lot of people who could beat him. So that's more intrigue.
Right. They've cheapened the title to make it almost like the 24/7 championship. Because, you know, like, R-Truth has, what, 47 reigns or something?
It's over 50.
Like that?
Yeah,
it's over 50.
It's embarrassing. It's like they act like it's funny. It's not even funny. It's embarrassing.
Agreed. Well, let's go back to the women real quick, and because I want to get your thoughts on where you guys think the Queen's Crown tournament is going to go. Because Fish and I were getting in a little bit of an argument about this. Zelina Vega defeated Carmella. She's in the final. On the other side, we've got Doudrop and Shayna Baszler.
Yikes.
They'll be wrestling. See, this is where this is getting weird, though, because you just don't know how this is going to turn out.
Yeah, you do.
Fish is dead set that Shayna Baszler is going to win, and she should. I totally agree with that. But the way this is going, is anybody going to be surprised if Zelina Vega doesn't win this thing?
Yeah. I'm telling you, Baszler's going to win. She's going to destroy Doudrop, and then her new partnership with Sonya Deville is going to come into play, and Sonya Deville is going to become, you know, the ultimate heel to help her, and she's going to beat Zelina Vega, and that's going to turn Zelina Vega face now.
Totally incorrect. Eva Marie is going to take Doudrop's spot, and she's going to win the tournament, like I had said a couple weeks ago.
You know what? I wouldn't doubt that happening either, but I still think that this is the push because they made Shayna Baszler look so bad for so long after they brought her on and made her very strong when she first faced Becky, and they thought that she was going to be able to beat Becky, and Becky finally got out of the Carafuta clutch, that now it's going to be that I'm telling you that this is the makeup for Shayna Baszler, and Baszler is going to win.
Yeah, well, you're never too right anyway. You keep saying Rey Mysterio's kid's going to turn heel, and that's obviously not going to happen. So.
I'm just going to put this out there that Zelina Vega's personality, and you're talking about doing a makeup. Well, Zelina Vega, since she's been back, hadn't won a match forever.
And help her win, I think. That's what the big angle's going to be.
That would be hilarious. Not going to happen, but hilarious. But couldn't you see Zelina Vega running around with the crown and all snooty and
no,
I think it's a possibility. And worse yet, could you imagine if Doudrop beats Shayna Baszler? She beat Natty.
I just don't see it.
I know it hurts to think about it, but
well, you guys talk about Shayna Baszler and how she was ruined. Well, how was she ruined? Because Vince McMahon didn't like her. So does Vince McMahon like her now enough to make her win his prestigious tournament?
That's the thing.
Well, look at the fact that who the entrants in this tournament were make this not prestigious at all.
Good point. I'm just saying that in Vince's mind, Zelina Vega fits the queen personality more than Shayna Baszler does. So who knows? All right, so we'll get rid of the women right now, like they did at the end of the Becky match, and just shuffled them out of there, which was I thought was pretty embarrassing too. And let's talk about what happened on Friday night, the drama of the SmackDown versus AEW Rampage war
that nobody saw.
Yeah, I heard more people watched NWA Power on YouTube for free, but I don't know.
Wouldn't blame them. But here's how it ended up. Let me pull these numbers here real quick. I do apologize. I'm turning away from the mic.
It was like 700,000 for SmackDown, 500,000 for AEW.
Yeah, AEW's numbers actually for Rampage did go up about 50,000. But yeah, the SmackDown number was the worst they've had in years.
Apparently, the last time they were on FS1, they did 1.1 or 1.3 million. This time, they did like 750,000.
Yeah, it was an unmitigated disaster. So it actually helped. It appears it helped Rampage a little bit. They picked up 50,000 viewers. But Tony Khan was out shooting his mouth off again, and he didn't stop. And of course, while we also weren't here, but they announced that buy-in event on YouTube for AEW, where they had out of the matches that kind of encapsulated this whole thing. The buy-in had Bryan Danielson against Suzuki, which was, if you guys didn't see it, was an unreal match.
No, I heard it was fantastic.
Unreal match. Those guys tore into each other. It was fantastic. I bet they'd have loved to have had that in that spot on Rampage, which was CM Punk against Matt Sydal. It was an okay match. It was okay.
I just like Roman Reigns just ragging all over CM Punk, telling him that he's grounded and lost the step. And
I've got all that ready to go for the second half of the show. And then, of course, we had the match with Becky and Sasha, which took up that half hour. Plus, then they did the contract signing, which I thought was one of the best contract signing segments I've ever seen. So I give them credit on that with Reigns and Lesnar. Excuse me. Yeah, got a frog in my throat today.
Yeah, like I said, I still, and this is how good a job they're doing with it, I still don't know which side Paul Heyman is actually on.
No, it's been fantastic.
He's on the winning side.
Yeah, his. His.
We watch boxing movies or you watch Dana White. You know, whoever wins the fight, he comes out and he's hugging him and he loves him. So whoever loses, he just casts aside.
Yep. So I want to give Tony Khan a little bit of credit, even though we talked last week about how he totally blew this whole thing. He didn't change the card. Now, he put the buy-in in, which got I think it was a 500,000 views total up to this point, somewhere in there. They did about 90,000 live, but overall they picked up like a 500,000 views for those matches. But, he didn't change the matches around. He could have, pushed Ruby Soho aside.
No, he couldn't. That's just it. He couldn't, because as soon as he changes stuff around, then he's running scared, and he can't appear like he's running scared.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm giving him credit for not being overreactionary like WWE has been doing ever since AEW started picking things up and, not beating the ratings a couple times. So, yeah, I think there's some credit to be given to sticking to his guns, saying this was the match I had scheduled. This is what we're going with.
Well, why are we giving him credit for scheduling a crappy match? Maybe Danielson and Suzuki should have been booked.
That is what they should have done. I think that would have been great.
So then Joe's right. They shouldn't give him credit for doing a bad job of booking.
So he made his marquee match be live on YouTube instead of on television.
Yeah. Agreed. I would have rather seen it on the show.
We give him credit for. It's like, hey, everybody, come to the show. Here's our main event. But if you come before the doors open, we're going to have a special match for you. And it's going to be Brian Cage against Hammerstone. I'd be an idiot not to do that on the main show.
Oh, absolutely. So.
So you no credit is due Tony Khan for being a
no credit.
I'm still giving him a little credit for staying with his card because the I will say this because what he could have easily done is taken Ruby Soho and the Bunny and just said you're out. And he stuck with his performers, you know? I mean, and that's got to say something to him at least that said, you know what? I'm staying with you. I put you on this show. You were scheduled. You're staying there.
Also pre-taped it, so
yeah. So just throwing that out there, but yeah, it turned out this little half hour shite show turned into a disaster for everybody. So
WWE was going to counter with Mustafa Ali against Mansoor. So
yeah, I'm so excited about that on the Extreme Rules pay-per-view.
12-1 Mansoor is the lock of the day.
He's taking away my thunder here. I've got this ready to roll for the prediction segment.
Oh.
But that's okay. I know you're a gambler, Joe. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good. Yeah, and so I don't know how well this is going to work out. Do you guys think they're going to do this again? Do you think Vince will do an overrun or something crazy like that and turn this into another fiasco at some point?
He can only do it if it's on FS1. He can't do it on Fox. They won't allow him to have the overrun on Fox, and it's way too expensive to get an extra half hour, especially commercial-free, on network television. So it only happens if they're on FS1, and he doesn't want to be on FS1 because he loses a million viewers.
But with all the money Vince McMahon gets paid from Fox, you don't think they'd ever preempt it if he wanted that half hour?
I think
they pay him. He ain't paying them.
Yeah, I mean, he'd go a half hour early. He'd go 7:30 as opposed to 8 o'clock, but I don't think he'd go 10 to 10:30.
You know, he doesn't even need to do it. The bottom line is, until AEW catches them, which we've seen is not really going to happen. And you say, I remember when we were doing, like, local cable or whatever, and it was like, the numbers are pretty crazy that, you know, almost 50% of people don't have cable. So, of course, the numbers have to be lower. People don't have it. So how can it would take a lot for a cable show to beat a, network show. Everybody in the world has Fox or everybody in the United States. While, I don't have cable anymore. Everybody has streaming services.
Yeah, and by the way, speaking of that money situation, this was the quote of the week from Tony Khan. When WWE announced they're going commercial free, we can take the commercials out of it. If you want to take the commercials out of it, I can do that too. It doesn't seem very civil, but I have more money than they do, so I can afford to do that longer than they can. But that's how we make money at the end of the day, so I was surprised when he took those out. What a little stab there at Vince McMahon and the WWE. Ouch.
Well, considering the father made the money and he's just mooching off the father, so.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
You know, I saw that and I was just like, it's wrestling. It's a great story. You see it on Twitter. Oh, that Tony Khan. And it's like, wait a second. That's dad's money. Who's letting him play with it?
Yes, he is.
It's like he's got a bigger platform than Dixie Carter.
All right. We are going to take our break. We will be right back here on the Mark Hoke Show. Second half coming up. Predictions for Crown Jewel coming up.
...101.5 FM, 720 AM, KDON, the talk of Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
Oh, baby. One more half hour of great pro wrestling news and information. All for you. I'm Mark Hoke. Thanks for being with us here on KDWN, the talk of Las Vegas. 101.5 FM, 720 AM, on your radio dial. Of course, go to KDWN.com. Listen around the world. We appreciate it. By the way, we now have Africa. Fish, we did it. South Africa has joined in on the podcast downloads.
Well, they have, but they've kept it separate because, you know, they're a partner.
Wow.
Shout out to my buddy PJ Black for downloading it down in South Africa.
Well, that's very nice of you. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. That's awesome.
Joe's reach is long.
It is. It is. Of course, we've got Andrew Fishfane sitting over here. I'm in the production booth today. I got put in the penalty box because everybody else couldn't show up today. Joe DeFalco from Future Starts of Wrestling as well. Before we get into our crown jewel predictions, as our friends at Cultaholic might say, Roman Reigns got a little cheeky this week, didn't he? A little chatty. Had some thoughts about AEW and CM Punk. I want to start with his thoughts about when they asked him if he thinks AEW is competition for them. And this was a very interesting quote, I thought. I don't see the real competition because I think their fan base legitimately is a hardcore fan base. So there's like a ceiling and a built-in ground to that viewership. We're trying to connect with everyone. We're trying to connect with the mainstream. We're trying to pull in the casual fan. We're trying to engage the new viewer while also servicing our hardcore fan base and give them compelling stories to fulfill them as well. Fish and Joe, is he right?
I think he makes an excellent point. I think AEW caters more to the hardcore wrestling fan, not hardcore wrestling, but the fan of wrestling who is a hardcore fan, versus WWE, which is absolutely more mainstream, I believe, and tries to appeal to everybody, and they have to be more broad with it and go for a broad audience, and that's why they get the broader audience.
Joe, what do you think of that?
I think he ties the company line. He's the next John Cena. I think the bottom line is, yeah, they are a hardcore company to where they have their they have those hardcore Ring of Honor fans or whatever. But it's like the WWE when they went to NXT that they tried to grab different fans. You know, they have a 50-60 year head start on AEW, and they are competition because by bringing in the Jerichos and the Pacs and the John Moxleys, they're going to get casual fans to come in. And just like WWE, there's plenty of stuff that we hate, and just like there'd be plenty of stuff a strict WWE fan is not going to like, but he's going to like certain things. So if CM Punk or Bryan Danielson's there, they're going to watch it. And they may not like the spotty fests of the Young Bucks against Pentagon and Phoenix, but they're not going to turn off because the roster is almost as good. And AEW is going to be around because as long as Tony Khan's father wants to finance all the losses.
Yeah, and you know, and they brought that, and there was another comment that was made about from WWE about AEW that, you know, they're expecting AEW to just run out of money and they're going to keep overspending and so on. Which, man, there was just barbs going everywhere. But
their name's good, All In. They are All In. That was always the biggest problem with any competition with WWE, and it's like, well, they made the first step by getting on a major cable network, and now they're able to. There's nobody in the last since WCW went out of business that's able to run a show in an arena that's going to draw more than 5,000, let alone 20,000. So, you know, to just dismiss them, it's the arrogance of WWE that's, you know, Roman Reigns is the new guy that's going to be that guy to take the John Cena mantle, you know, the same guy who had to apologize to the Chinese government because he was told to.
Yeah, and you know, and I think one thing that AEW is doing is, you know, we haven't seen that style of wrestling where it's a harder hitting, more realistic style of wrestling, you know, out in the mainstream on. You know, broadcast television like this, it's so different to see. It's so much fun. But, you know, guys like you, me, you know, Fish, when we were growing up and we got to see the NWA, you know, and all the regional promotions where matches like this were pretty commonplace. You know, it's fun for me as a fan to see this come back. I love watching that match with Suzuki and Danielson this week. It was just like you're actually having a fight. You're actually, you know, causing each other pain. And you're not doing a Hurricane Ronald where you let somebody go halfway through it, you know, and all these goofy little things that WWE likes to do with their little sporty entertainment stuff. You know, this is a different style of wrestling that people really haven't seen for a long time. What do you think about that, Fish?
I think you're right. I think it you know, AEW is not afraid to show like they hurt each other.
Yeah, and it's going to take some time for people to kind of that, you know, for some, maybe somebody who's in their 20s or 30s, that all they've seen is the WWE style. Now they're like, what's this? This is different. And, you know, but when you think about it, you know, it's wrestling. It's supposed to be physical. It's supposed to be powerful. You're supposed to be in heavy conflict. You know, like I hate when they have a steel cage match and, you know, there's no color. I mean, if you're in a steel cage match, this is the ultimate grudge match. I hate you. You hate me. I'm going to do everything I can to destroy your body and beat you and humiliate you.
Well, I mean,
and WWE got away from that, but now we see it's back.
Well, we're going to see what happens with the Hell in a Cell match between Rollins and Edge. And I love the fact that Seth Rollins referenced the fact that the last two of the last three guys he fought in Hell in a Cell are no longer with the company. And he's obviously talking about Bray Wyatt and Jon Moxley.
Yep. And then the other comment from Roman Reigns, shot over the bow right at CM Punk. That's not going to elevate me at all. He's older now. I haven't really seen a full match. I've seen a clip or two, and to me, a step or two has been lost. Then he also got whooped in the UFC. I don't think anybody really believes someone 200 pounds soaking wet with no explosive bone in their body could ever really do anything to me. Yikes.
Yikes, but I think he's, in a way, he's right.
Ooh.
And in a way, he's wrong. Shawn Michaels beat up Vader. We believed it. You know, Shawn Michaels feuded with The Undertaker. Bret Hart wrestled The Undertaker. It's wrestling. You know, you could make, and CM Punk wishes he was 180 pounds soaking wet. That has nothing to do with it. You know, the fact that he lost to the UFC, who cares? What does that have to do with wrestling? It's like, again, he's just towing the company line and saying what he needs to say as the champ. I don't take anything he says with a grain of salt myself.
Yeah,
I think you're right. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I think you're right, Joe, that he absolutely has to tow the company line like that. But at the same time, what I think he's right about is I think CM Punk has lost a step, but he has to. That's what happens when you age. It's been 7 years.
Yeah,
and right. There's no doubt. Yeah, he lost a step, but I'd still rather watch him than Elias or Corbin, or whatever, Corbin Burnson or whatever.
Corbin Burnson, yeah.
Little L.A. Law going on there. There we go. Yeah, you know,
Madcap Moss.
Oh, and everybody's complaining about CM Punk, you know, not stepping right in and wrestling Kenny Omega or, you know, anybody like that. Well, he's been out for 7 years. And this is a guy that really cares about his craft and what he does in the ring. And, you know, I'm sure that he doesn't want to go out and make a bad performance. He's got to shake that rust off. He's got to get back in the swing things. I read a quote where he said, God, I am so sore right now because I just haven't been taking bumps all this time. It takes time to get that conditioning back.
You know, I don't know why. I saw him bumping on heels a few times.
Yeah, well, it's heels. But... But, I mean, you know, in front of a live audience doing this thing, I just think it's going to, and he's trying, and I know they're really trying to do a slow build with him. You know, would I love to see him hop in the ring with Kenny Omega right now? Sure. But honestly, he's probably not quite ready for it yet.
I'd love to see Pac smash him.
That match would be amazing. But he's getting there, and I think everybody's just got to be patient and let him work out. But
they have enough at the top of the card. It's like, you know, and that's the thing. There's so much talent there. I joke about how they have 700 guys on the roster, and the fact of the matter is they do. But the top of the food chain, you got Omega and Paige and Jericho and Pac and, you know, Danielson and Hoyt or Archer, whatever you call them.
And Moxley.
And, you know, how many guys are there? It's like, all it is, what's the difference of CM Punk wrestles first or last? It's like, all you're trying to do is put the best show on. And that's always when I have the problem, that they put too many guys that they didn't really need to have. It's just like, you know, you don't have the brand extension. So having CM Punk on or having Danielson on against Suzuki like that, wow, that, you know, those are amazing opportunities, especially for the wrestlers. You know, that's the main reason Danielson left, was for the opportunity to have great wrestling matches. In WWE, nobody cares about you having great wrestling matches. All they're trying to do is pass a 12-minute segment, and who cares that you want 23 minutes to put on this phenomenal show? Unless you're on the pay-per-view, you know, we got TV time. You're in and out in six.
Yep. And it's funny, but the WWE used to care about it, though. They used to want to have those good 20, 25-minute matches and show what they can do. And you're right. The older he's gotten, the more it's become just about putting on a TV show and not putting on a wrestling card.
Yeah, you can see when Punk and Danielson are wrestling right now, how much fun they are having. Man, if you go back and watch the Kenny Omega match and you watch the Suzuki match, as an example, man, Danielson, while he's taking a beating, is in there smiling. He is so happy right now that he's actually getting to do wrestling instead of sports entertainment. And so is Punk. You know, it shows.
Yeah, and you could see, and he doesn't even hate the fans anymore like he did.
Yeah. I mean, Punk's just out there having a blast.
Yeah, and like I said, the problem is WWE is too busy putting on TV instead of putting on wrestling.
Well, speaking of WWE, guys, we need to do our predictions for this exciting pay-per-view. And it is a pretty big pay-per-view coming up on Thursday, 9 a.m. Pacific time. Fisher, we're gonna do a reaction show at 9 a.m.?
Yeah, it's not happening.
No? Yeah, it's a rotten time to have to watch. So,
and it's live on Peacock.
I'm excited.
I might actually watch it.
It's actually, and the show is, they're setting it up to be a quote-unquote super card, because there are some matches here that could be fantastic if it's done the right way, although I have my doubts that it'll be done the right way.
Well, we'll see. Well, let's run down the card. First, we'll do the King and Queens tournaments, because we don't know who's going to win yet. So this is going to be a little trickier for us, because we don't actually know who's going to be in the match. Let's do the Queen's Crown. Right now, Zelina Vega is in. She will meet the winner of Shayna Baszler and Doudrop. Guys, who makes it? Who wins? Fish.
Shayna Baszler makes it. Shayna Baszler wins.
Joe?
Eva Marie makes it, and Eva Marie wins.
Oh, God. Will you give me a serious one?
I really hope that happens, because I want to give Joe his props next Sunday.
Seriously, who's going to win the match?
I guess we'll go with Vega.
Oh, see? Fish is in there taking a sip of his drink. And you know what? After I've been thinking about it, I am going with Zelina Vega as well. So there you go. Fish, you got free reign for Shayna Baszler.
Yeah.
So there you go. Well, might work out for you. Okay, on the men's side, right now we have Finn Balor is in. We'll meet the winners.
Wow, really? I didn't see that one coming a mile away.
Taking on Xavier Woods, Jinder Mahal winner. Guys, who gets there and who wins it? Fish.
What's going to happen is Xavier Woods is going to beat Jinder Mahal, and then Kofi Kingston's going to turn heel, just like Rey Mysterio or Dominic Mysterio, and he's going to cost Woods the King of the Ring tournament. So Balor's going to win, and you're going to set up a feud between Woods and Kingston now because New Day's breaking up.
Dang, that was a long way to say Finn Balor's going to win, Joe.
Yes, it was.
You know, they like going with the local hero, so Jinder Mahal's close enough. So Jinder Mahal.
Ooh, he's taking Mahal all the way. See, now
the Saudis are going to pop big, but between Mansoor and Jinder winning, it's going to be a big day for the Saudis.
There you go. You know what? I'm just going to say Xavier Woods is going to win. We'll split this one three ways and see what happens. But I'm not going
to
be surprised.
That would be a good idea. You know, if Woods does win, then they can actually do the Kofi turn in, like, you know, American soil, where people might actually pay attention.
That is true. But honestly, I won't be surprised if Jinder Mahal wins that match.
Are they going to be able to get back from Saudi Arabia in time to do SmackDown on Friday?
Well, I guess it depends if Vince pays the bill.
Who cares? They'll find a bunch of guys from NXT to bring up. So,
is anybody left down there now?
Bron Breakker.
Yeah, Bron Breakker time. All right, so now let's go to the official card. We got Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks wrestling for the SmackDown Women's title. Betting odds are up. Becky Lynch is a minus 200. This is one of the tighter ones. Bianca Belair is plus 185, Sasha Banks plus 250. I find interesting.
I'm giving it to the long shot Sasha Banks because she's the only one that's on SmackDown.
That's kind of my point here, too. She's the only one that's supposed to be on SmackDown, so she should win, right, Joe?
Yeah, you would think so, but did they bring Becky back to have her win the title in 14 seconds to then just drop it at this show? I don't know.
Well, you were talking about how they flip titles, so.
Yeah, I was thinking it was Bianca Belair, but it's like, yeah, wrong way. So, I'm going with Becky Lynch.
Okay, he's going Becky. All right, and I'm going to take Sasha as well. So, the Big E versus Drew McIntyre for the WWE World Championship. Big E is a minus 600. Who's got this one? Joe, I'll give you first crack.
The inside scoop's in. I'm going to have to call one of my boys at WWE, see if I can find an upset and, make some big money. But, yeah, Drew hasn't had any push in a while. You know, he's been busy feuding with Jinder Mahal. This will be a good win for Big E.
Yep. I'm sorry, Fish, go ahead.
Sadly, I know that Big E wins because they've pre-taped the tribute to the troops, and Big E defends his title in the tribute to the troops. So, therefore...
Oh. There you go. So, you know what? Guys, give me like $6,000 each. I'll put it on the bet online, and we pick up a quick $1,000.
There you go.
So, therefore, Big E wins. I'm not saying who he beats in tribute for the troops or who he fights in tribute for the troops, but...
Well, you already kind of spoiled it.
Yeah. Well, hey, if you're going to pre-tape a show that they're not playing for like 6 weeks, that's not on me.
Yeah, great point. Yeah, so I'm going to take Big E as well. It sounds like a pretty good bet. So you get minus 600. You got to plunk a little money down, but...
I'm going to go mortgage my house because Fish said it, so it's set.
It must be so.
All right, the Hell in a Cell match. Edge against Seth Rollins. Edge is a minus... Tree Fitty plus 225 for Seth Rollins. Fish, who you got on this one?
This is the one I'm absolutely not sure about. I'm guessing they're going to go with Edge just because he is a big enough favorite that there's a reason behind it. So I think they have Edge win this match, but it wouldn't shock me to see Rollins win it.
Joe?
Well, the Saudis booked the show, and they book all the legends, so Edge has to win.
And I agree, Edge will win this match. Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley in the You Hurt My Son match. Goldberg. And this is
Liam
one where...
Neeson shows, oh, that's the Taken match. Sorry.
This one I find interesting. Goldberg is a minus 300 to Lashley's plus 200. Goldberg going to win?
It should be minus 3,000. Like, we all know that they want Lesnar, the Saudis. I just said, the Saudis booked the show. Goldberg has to win, so enjoy the last jackhammer and spear you may ever see in your lifetime.
Fish?
I think that Goldberg wins, but I think that afterwards that Keith Lee comes out, joins the Hurt Business, and helps Bobby Lashley beat down Goldberg.
I don't know why there's something in my gut that's telling me Lashley's going to win this match. I don't know what it is. I'm going to reluctantly take Goldberg. I'm going to go with you guys. You talked me into it, but I'm not going to be shocked if Lashley wins this. The Mansoor Mustafa Ali match. Feel like wasting some money. Well, maybe that's no waste of money if you get enough down.
Yeah, but
Mansoor minus 1,200.
The mortgage closure, right?
I was going to say, take all the money that you're putting on Big E and put it on Mustafa Ali.
Man, if we could parlay that, I could bet $1,000 to win $187 on the two-team parlay.
There you go.
I'll take Mansoor.
Yeah. Like I said, they had him win. What was it? Was it the 40-man battle royale they had Mansoor win?
That's the only reason that I think he could lose this match, because he already got his big win. good for Ali to get the win.
What are you saying? He's tired from beating 39 guys last year that he is going to affect his business?
He has not recovered yet. We've got RK-Bro defending the Raw Tag Team titles against AJ Styles and Omos. RK-Bro is a minus 300.
RK-Bro retains. I don't know how, unless they can only, the problem is they can only pin Styles because they're protecting Omos. So.
Okay, Joe?
Well, then they'll have to pin AJ Styles unless when they get off the plane, Randy Orton takes a crap in somebody's bag that's part of the Saudi authority, and then they have to switch the titles. But other than that, RK-Bro's got to win.
I got to tell you, are you saying that's happened before, Joe?
I've heard rumors.
Oh, I'll take RK-Bro. But I tell you what, we got a lot of the good guys winning the matches.
Yeah, that was a lot of faces. Well, that's because the Saudis want all the faces to win.
Yeah, but
hey, where's the Undertaker on this show? They were going to pay him like $3 million to show up.
Now, guess what? He gone. And then our final match, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar for the Universal title. Reigns is only a minus 250 on this. Fish, who wins the battle for Heyman?
Good Lord. It's got to be Lesnar because the Saudis booked the show, but I don't see them taking the belt off Reigns, so Lesnar wins by DQ.
Whatever it is, he's plus 170. You know, the last time Lesnar was this kind of favorite, he upset The Undertaker in shocking fashion. So, if you want to bet a live dog, you got to take Lesnar because, A, he could win the title and they switch it. On a pay-per-view, or, there is a DQ or count out or whatever it is. I like Lesnar at plus 170.
Because he put the one in 21-1.
That's right.
And I'm going to go with Joe on this. I think somehow Lesnar does win the match. Maybe not win the title, but he's good. But I think he wins the match.
So what happens with Heyman? That's all I want is your opinion on what they're doing with Paul Heyman.
I think Heyman's going to just knife Lesnar. I think he stays with the bloodline. I think that it's just too good. And I could see Heyman doing something. And it's funny, we haven't seen Heyman do anything physical in a match. I can't remember
since
when
he wrestled Jim Cornette.
I mean, it's been forever. he's there as the, oh my God, oh, what's going on? Oh no, that's my guy. He has not interjected himself in a match at all.
No, he doesn't take bumps anymore or anything.
Is this a night that it changes, guys?
He brings out the cell phone.
Oh, that'd be great if he dug the old cell phone out. For those of you kids that don't know, cell phones used to be a little bit bigger than fitting in your hand.
Polydangerous.
Yeah, it was like the giant brick. They called it the brick.
Yeah, polydangerously, baby.
But, Joe, could you see Heyman actually doing something in this match like that?
I think Paul Heyman's the type of guy, like, he won't pick a side until he has to pick a side. And, he wants to be friends with everybody. And for storyline purposes, you want Paul Heyman on a show. So having Lesnar five times a year or having Roman Reigns every single week, I'm looking at it logistically, not like, wrestling-wise. I can't see Heyman screwing over Roman Reigns.
And Lesnar has done a great job, considering he doesn't usually speak, has done a great job of selling Paul Heyman coming over to his side.
Yeah, I mean, Lesnar's been great. Those guys have done a fantastic job. We'll see how long that whole thing rolls. So there's your crown jewel predictions. We're not going to get to the snap, obviously we don't have time. But I do have a couple of other fast news and notes. Real quick.
I want to make a quick spot. My guy, Sefa Fatu, Solo Sikoa, is supposed to be making his debut on NXT this week.
Yeah, that's exciting.
I saw a great-looking promo. They left him at 15 to be the king of the island.
Yes, it looked like they dyed his hair blonde from what I thought I saw.
Yeah, I think so.
Isn't that what daddy's hair color is?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Just don't start dancing and stink
facing. But they're not going to announce that he's related, so whatever, figure it out.
Yeah, they're not doing that with anybody.
They're not bringing him up as brothers to the Usos?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, you would think they would just call him, Solo. Because I guess Rikishi owns the Fatu name, is from what I was told.
So he's going to be Solo Uso.
A random name generator, that's for sure. FTR last on Dynamite Saturday won the AAA titles from the Lucha Brothers. So they pick up a nice win for them on TV.
Yeah.
Who did?
FTR.
Oh.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
They're still with them? Oh, I forgot. They have to, like, rotate the 36 tag team. So, like, I guess they get the push again.
Yeah, they were Andrade El Idolo's mystery team. And but the Lucha Brothers had those titles for over 2 years. So that's a significant win for FTR. Yeah,
the Lucha Brothers are still the AEW tag team holders, correct?
That is correct. Yep. So, and also, we had mentioned the Million Dollar Man a little while ago. He's going to be losing a few millions. Did you see what happened?
That's mainly his kid, Mike.
Yeah, got caught in that Mississippi welfare scandal.
Yeah, Ted Jr.
They all got caught in.
Mike's the main culprit, but I'll give you a funny story. When we were doing the one night, it was we had Million Dollar Man and Duggan. They were at our school doing a Q&A, like a one night only thing with both of them. And literally, right as we were sitting in the office, Ted got the call that Mike got arrested.
Wow!
Yikes!
So the Million Dollar Fame, a little bit of trouble. Guys, great show. Once again, thank you, Fish. Thank you, Joe. Hey, give us a follow on Twitter.
Are you going to call him the $100,000 man?
It might be the $10 man if this keeps up.
Maybe the 6 to 10 man.
Follow us at Mark Hoke Show. Facebook, The Mark Hoke Show. MarkHokeShow.com. MarkHokeShow.podbean.com for all those podcasts. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you next week on The Mark Hoke Show. Have a great Sunday.